The following is a lecture on the significance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, given by His Grace Radhikaraman Prabhu on April 17, 2010, at a Bhakti Riksha program held in Richmond, Virginia.
Full of strife today, full of quarrel, full of fighting. Everywhere you look, there's strife of so many different kinds or varieties. Look at countries, for example. As part of the dialogue, one of the things we were discussing was how we were praying for different parts of the world where there was strife and there was problems or difficulties. And people started naming different places. And we realized that just about every part of the world today is a problem, is a place of strife and misery and problems. Where can you not describe it? You know, there's conflict going on in Africa, in Sudan and Darfur, and there's conflict going on in Nigeria, and there's conflict going on in South America, and there's troubles going on in Europe at the moment. It's everywhere you look. It's just different varieties, different kinds, right? But strife, in terms of nations, there's problems everywhere. If you look in terms of individuals, the struggles that people have to face in order to just make things survive, into just to last. If you put a group of five people together, then those five people, the default thing that will happen is that they'll compete and they'll fight with each other. Right? That's our default mode of operation in this age, is quarrel. Even if you put two people in a room together, they'll find some reason to quarrel with each other. Getting along well together is something you have to work hard for. And quarreling is something that happens automatically by default. So whether you look on the national level, or you look on the community level, or you look on the individual level, everyone is fighting, everyone is quarreling. And so this question of trying to find a common platform for peace, a common platform for unity, is the most pressing question of our age, of our time. What is that unifying platform? What is that common platform that brings everyone together on the basis of which we can actually live together as one family, as one community? And the answer to that question is actually quite simple. The answer to that question is what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give. The Lord, He understands, He knows that in this age, it's an age marked by this type of quarrel, this type of confusion. And this is why scriptures describe, it says, Prayen alpa yushas sabhya kalavasmin yuge jana manda sumanda mataya manda bhagya hyupadruta. That in this particular age, Prayen alpa yushas sabhya, almost everyone, they have a very short span of life, alpayusha, only 100 years maximum we live. Right? And most people don't make it to 100. Rayen alpayusha satya, kalav asmin yuge jana, in this particular age of Kali, manda sumanda mataya. Manda means everyone is very, very slow, very dull. Sumanda mati, especially up here in their brains, we're very slow, very dull. We hear the same thing 100 times, still we don't get the point. That's the nature of this age. But, and manda bhagya, and they're also got very slow destinies. In other words, very unfortunate. Always surrounded by so many kinds of misfortune, problems happening, and difficulties, and so forth. But the most important quality of this age, the most significant one, is the last one mentioned, hyupadruta. Hyupadruta means always disturbed, always disturbed. And there's always disturbance of some kind going on. Anytime you try to do something, some disturbance will come. Some problem will come. No matter how perfectly you try to do anything, you try to just, I'm going to put in my full effort and do this 100% and completely like make sure that it's just right. And in the end, something will be wrong. You'll dissatisfy someone. or some problem will be there, or something will break down, or something will happen. That's the nature of this age. It's always causing some kind of disturbance, upadruta, always disturbed. And of course, that manifests in the form of so many conflicts and distresses and so forth. So Krishna, in this age, he comes specifically to teach the unifying platform for the entire humanity. That what is that one thing that can bring everyone together on a common platform, on a single platform? Someone might say, well, it's a good, clear philosophy, maybe. If you have a logical philosophy that can bring everyone together. Can that be a common platform to bring everyone together?
No.
Why?
Because once it is a philosophy itself, there itself, and you say common philosophy, where can you have a common philosophy when I belong to a certain restricted religion or something? And when I mean to say particularly a restricted religion, it never goes with hand in hand
right.
with the other.
No, but perhaps it was completely logical, right? So if you're 100%, like it's just anyone who's reasonable should be able to understand it. It's 100% reasonable, just based on reason.
How many people can give the reason, actually?
It's hard to find reason that would satisfy
me. Yeah, means what is reasonable, right? It's 100% reasonable. So only unreasonable people will not be able to understand it. All of you are unreasonable, I'm the only reasonable person. Right? So where's the commonality? If you look at the history of philosophy, then there's no commonality based on philosophy. Even the simplest philosophy, there's disagreement. Even the most basic things people disagree about. Right? So philosophy is not going to be a common platform. If you look at the history of philosophy in the West, history of philosophy in the East, everywhere there's disagreement. Okay, then maybe you think it's some kind of political platform. We all stand up for the same cause. Can politics be a platform of equality? No, hopeless case. Maybe, I don't know, maybe it's the rituals we do. Maybe that can be a common platform. But rituals all differ, not just from religion to religion, but from one region to another region. Maybe it's scriptures, which scripture we use. But all across the world, people have different scriptures. What is that one common platform that everyone can unite upon, regardless of what, who they are? That platform is the chanting of God's holy names. The chanting of God's holy names. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes specifically to teach that regardless of what holy name you have of the Lord, it doesn't matter. Everyone can chant any of God's holy names. He says specifically, Namna Makari Bahuda Nijasarva Shaktis Tatrarpita Niyamita Smarane Nakala. Namna Akari Bahuda. You have unlimited varieties of different names. He's speaking to Krishna. Nijasarva Shaktis Tatrarpita. And in each one of them, arpita, you've bestowed nija sarva shaktis, your entire power. Everything you have, you've bestowed in that, in each of your holy names. And so any holy name we chant of the Lord, we can chant. And that singing, chanting, repeating of God's holy name can be a common platform for all of humanity to get together on. And it's the one thing in religion which everyone can get together. Just like if you read the Psalms in the Bible, they say, take musical instruments and tambourines and drums and come praise the Lord, praise his name. If you look at Islam, the same thing is there, repeating the name of Allah. You look at Buddhism, they chant, Buddham Sharanam Gacchami, like this. They're repeating the name of Lord Buddha over and over again, or one of the bodhisattvas or something. So the chanting of the holy name can be such a powerful force because it goes straight to the heart. If you do something that's based on the body, then we can disagree. You should sit like this or you should sit like that. There can be disagreement or problems or whatever. If you do something based on the mind, there can be unlimited disagreement. But chanting of the Lord's holy name is something that's part specifically of the heart. It goes straight to the self inside. It's a direct connection between the soul and God. And this is something that we actually know from practical experience. People, they get together in a social setting, in a class or something, and they'll argue for hours about philosophy. But when kirtan begins, when chanting begins, even someone who doesn't know anything about who God is, who Krishna is, whatever, they're now sankirtanting of the Lord's holy names. The music, the chanting, the name itself is very, very attractive. So this was the message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is what he came to teach, is how in this age of Kali, the chanting the holy names of God are the only way for progress in this age. They're the only way. Because any other way is going to add to our disagreements, add to our problems, add to our fighting. And we don't need any more of that in the world. Because we're already prone to quarrel. So better everyone get together and chant the holy name. Do kirtan, do sankirtan. And this morning we did worship together. The Christians and the Vaishnavas. We did a Christian worship and the Vaishnavas participated. And they sang these hymns glorifying the Lord. And everyone, all the Vaishnavas, all the Hindus were getting into it, right? Some nice kirtan. It was to God, it was Lord, you know. Krishna was not mentioned, but no problem. And then we chanted Govinda Jai Jai, Gopala Jai Jai, you know, and Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Everyone was into it. Govinda Jai Jai. And they don't, you know, it's Govinda. It's not the names of God they use, but it doesn't matter. And it was really a common platform. Then we sit down and discuss philosophy. No, but our philosophy says this. And no, actually, no, your philosophy says that. Do you believe this? And it was all complicated, right? But when the time we were doing kirtan, no complications. Simple. Everyone can appreciate God is here. He's here in His holy name. He's here in Harinam. And this is why you look at every single saint and sadhu, anyone who's appeared in the last 5,000 years since Kali Yuga began, they've taught exactly the same message. Whether you look at Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, whether you look at the Ramanandi Vaishnavas, whether you look at Sri Vaishnavas, whether you look at Tulsidas, you look at any saint, you look at any sadhu, you come to the West, you look at any saint, any sadhu.
There must be something real about it.
Exactly, there must be something real about it. So many people, so many great souls in this world cannot be stupid. Right? They cannot all be wasting their time. People who are so profoundly intelligent, who are so great, who changed the direction of history, who are far more successful than any one of us, they cannot all be foolish. Right? They're saying the same thing to us over and over and over again. And so it behooves us to take this message very seriously. And this is the message. This is the message that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu set in motion 500 years ago. He came to teach this basic thing. Cheto darpanamarjanam bhavamaha davagni nirvapanam shreya kairava chandrika vitaranam vidyavadhu jivanam anandam budhivardhanam pratipadam purnamita svadanam sarvatma snapanam param vijayate shri krishna sankirtanam. And that this Krishna sankirtana will be victorious. It says it is victorious, vijayate, it is victorious in this age. Why? Sarvatma snapanam. It can please, it can satisfy sarvatma, everyone. This book can satisfy you, this book can satisfy you, but it doesn't satisfy me. This food can satisfy you, this food can satisfy you. But Harinam Sarvatma Snapanam. It satisfies everyone. Sarva. And this is its power, this is its uniqueness. So it's a wonderful message. And in fact, if you look at the time period in which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared 500 years ago, this was happening all over the world. You find amazing saints in Christianity who are teaching the same message of love of God. You look at Islam, so many of the Sufi masters were teaching at that same very time. It was a great wave of love of God that appeared in the world, because this is what Krishna came to give in the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. giving this wave of bhakti. In India, Indian history, called it bhakti kal, this period of history. This, in English, they call it the bhakti renaissance. It was a renaissance. It was India's renaissance. Things changed. People's moods changed. And there was hope brought into the age of Kali. And so it's described that due to the influence of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in this dark and terrible age of Kali Yuga, we find a golden streak of 10,000 years. 10,000, the Kali Yuga lasts, that seems like a long time, but it's not very long. Kali Yuga itself lasts 432,000 years. When I'm teaching my students in the university, we talk about different ages in Hinduism, Satyuga, Treta, Dwapar, Kali. And I always ask them, now can anyone guess which age we're in? And you know what everyone answers? Everyone thinks that we're in a bad age. Everyone, universally. Everyone thinks, yeah, things are bad. But everyone thinks that my time, my age, is the worst. Right? Previous generations were better. Now this generation has just gone to the dogs. India used to be so good, now it's all, look at this, like that, and so forth. But according to Bhagavatam, things are just getting started. We haven't seen anything yet. We're 5,000 years into this age. There's another 427,000 years to go. So if you're looking for the end times, some religious movements look for the end times, that the end of the world is coming, things are getting so bad. And Bhagavatam say, no, things are not getting bad yet. Things just getting started. If you think things are bad, just wait and see how bad things can get. We don't want to wait and see. We want to get back to Godhead before the end is here. Get there quickly. But the point is, within that long sphere, 427,000 years, 10,000 years is a golden streak. And it's described just like you have a dark, dark rain cloud in a dark, dark sky at nighttime. But all of a sudden, there'll be a flash of golden lightning, which for one instant will illuminate everything and it'll appear like day. It's so bright, it can practically be blinded. And beautiful also, when that golden streak comes. So that golden lightning is Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Gauranga means the golden. He's called the golden avatar, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. His complexion is golden, like Srimati Radharani. Because he came, like Prabhuji explained, he came in the mood of Radharani to taste Radharani's love. So he's golden in complexion. And he comes in this dark age of Kali, this black age, like a golden lightning. And he illuminates everything. And we're so fortunate that we have been born at a time where we can take advantage of this simple, easy process of chanting the Lord's holy name. Take advantage of it and perfect our lives so easily. Every sage and saint is telling us, take this opportunity seriously. Take this, it won't come again. It doesn't come easily. Govinda Das Kaviraj, he sings very beautifully. He says, Kamala Tala Jala Jivana Talamala Bhajahu Haripada Nitire. Kamala Dala Jala Jivana Talam. Kamala Dala Jala. So like jala, like water, on the Kamala Dala. Dala means leaf. Kamala means lotus. So it's a beautiful poetry. Kamala Dala Jala. The Jivana Talamala. Talamala means wavering. Turbulence, talamala, like that. So it's like a drop of water, our life is tottering on a lotus leaf. Just like that. And the slightest breeze, the slightest movement in the water, and it rolls off. Like that, human life is like this. Durlabha manava janama satsangya tarhoe bhava sindhure. This is such a dangerous, such a rare opportunity that we've received. We're all rare, Raju. This is our condition. We're all rare in nature. This opportunity is rare. Each one of us, we've received this human form of life. Jivana talam, at any moment. Therefore, bhajahu haripada nitire. You have to worship the lotus feet of Lord Hari. How? Shravana kirtana, smarana vandana, Pada Sevana Dasyare Pujana Sakhi Jana Atma Nivedana Govinda Das Abhilashare. He says, Govinda Das, he's desiring this. What? Shravana Kirtana. Let me hear the Lord's holy name. Kirtana. And let me chant that holy name. Smarana. Then let me remember him. Shravana Kirtana. Right? So this is our wonderful opportunity that we've received. And this opportunity comes by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he's giving this gift. And he's giving this preeti. It's a gift that we don't deserve, actually. If we look at our lives, what have we done to deserve the mercy of the Lord? Practically nothing. Doing 5-10 minutes of puja every day, that doesn't make us deserving of the Lord's mercy. That's just us, we're paying our dues. Even if we do 2 hours of puja every day, it's just we're paying our dues. We get sunlight from God, we get moonlight from God, we get rains from the Lord, we get trees and plants, everything we're getting from Krishna. So we have to pay our dues. That's no great thing, that we do some puja, we do some bhakti like that. What have we done to deserve the Lord's mercy, to deserve this type of easy liberation, easy love of God that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving, that Krishna is giving through his holy name? Nothing. It's a causeless mercy. It's a gift that's given absolutely 100% freely. It's like going up to a beggar on the street and handing him gold coins. Just giving him like that. What have I done? Nothing. This is the Lord's great mercy. But it's up to us to take advantage of it. We're so unfortunate, the Lord says, in that same verse I quoted, Nana Makari Bahuda Nijasarva Shakti Tatrarpita Niyamita Smarane Nakala E Tadrishi Tava Kripa Bhagavan Mamapi Dur Daivam Idrisham Ihajani Na Anuraga. I have no Anuraga for this. No attachment for your holy name. No interest in chanting God's names. No time for it even. All of us, we're in this condition. No time for it. And as Prabhupada said so many times, he said, this is the disease of Kali Yuga, the main disease. No time. The no time disease. I don't have time. This is our disease. No time. Why don't we have any time? No time because? No taste. No taste. No desire for it. Na anuraga. You don't have taste for something, you don't have time for it. You have taste for good food, you always have time for good food. Right? Someone gives you good food, you have time to eat it, right? Even you'll eat it in the car running and, you know, whatever, but you'll eat it, right? You have, because there's anuraga, there's attachment there. But for your holy names, even though you've given everything in that, Nija Sarva Shakti, all your mercy, there's so much kripa is there. Karuna, your mercy is there. Still na anuraga. That's durdaipa. I'm so unfortunate because of that. So if we want to receive that gift, then we have to pray to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And we have to request his mercy. Because it's in this form that Krishna has come specifically to give this gift. He can give it in any form. But this form, he specifically come to give that gift. So we have to beg for his mercy. And this is why before and after we start chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, we always chant the mantra to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhara, Shiva Chadi Gaurava. That, O Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and all your associates, please help me to chant this holy name with sincerity. Please help me to chant it with feeling, with meaning, with some taste. Let me accept this gift in some way, this causeless gift that you're giving. A gift to someone who's undeserving for it. And in that mood of humility, Pranadabhis Amani Namami, we can actually chant this holy name. Right, so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is very, very important for, if you look at him historically, if you look at him culturally, if you look at him spiritually. In every way, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu he's one of the most significant figures in the world's religious history. But he's also, Krishna himself, come to give us this very, very special gift, this special message. And it behooves us to take full advantage of this, to request his mercy. So we're very fortunate that for the first time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu, his elder brother, are coming to Richmond. They're coming in a formal way. It means we've had Gaur Nitya in Richmond before, but for the first time, they're being specifically installed here in Richmond. They're not just visiting, or they're not coming from a place they were already worshipped. They're actually coming to Richmond. They're actually coming to a home, to a place here in our Bhakti Riksha. That's a very, very significant occasion. Because Krishna doesn't come just like that. You cannot go and buy Krishna. This is a fact. But you can try it. Try going to buy Krishna. You cannot buy Krishna like that. You can buy a statue and put it on the mantle in your home. But Krishna won't be there. Krishna comes when he desires, when there's a desire on the heart of the devotee, on the side of the devotee. And when he agrees to come, no one can stop him from coming. No one can stop him. This is the experience of every devotee, including my own experience. Even Radhika Mataji will describe also. When Krishna decides he wants to come, he'll come. When the Lord decides to come in this murti form, in this form of the deity, he'll come. No one can stop him. He'll make his own way. He'll make his own facility. When he feels that this home, this community is ready to receive us. So we're very, very fortunate that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu have decided that we're worthy of having them in our presence. That they're worthy of coming here permanently. And of course, we hope that they will come again and again and again into each one of our homes, into every home. Because he has to be a part of every family, not just one family. But nevertheless, this is a very significant occasion for us. Because Krishna is coming to our Bhakti Riksha in this way, to give his mercy. And as a result, we'll see that the Bhakti Riksha, that the devotee's devotion, their advancement, will expand so much. As soon as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is there, he's Karunavatara. And he's the incarnation of mercy. Everything will expand. Everything will get much better. And the flood of love of God will spread. The Bhakti Riksha will grow. The devotees will be more inspired. We'll all advance. These all things will happen by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's power. The question is only if we want to be part of it. If we want to participate. That's up to us. It won't happen by our power. We can choose to participate or we can choose to watch on the sidelines. That's up to us. That's our choice. So, the Lord is Sankirtanaika. I just end with one very nice verse. From Chaitanya Bhagavata, which describes Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very nicely. And hopefully this will give you a taste for seeing him next week. The verse describes his beauty. It says, Ajanulambita bhujo kanakavadato Ajanulambita bhujo kanakavadato Sankirtanai kapitaro kamalayataksho Vishwambharo Dvijavaro Yuga Dharma Palo Vande Jagat Priyakaro Karunavataro Vande Jagat Priyakaro Karunavataro. This, I offer my respectful obeisances to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Ajanu Lambita Bhujo. His hands, they're very, very long. Long hands are beautiful. They come down to his knees. Ajanu Lambita Bhujo. This is one of the signs of a Mahapurusha. Someone who's not an ordinary human being. Ajanu lambita bhujo kanakavadato. And his complexion is kanaka. It's like gold. Golden complexion. Gauranga. Gaurahari. Kanakavadato. Sankirtanaika pitaro. He's the father of... Actually, this verse is to both. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda. Everything is in dual. They are the fathers. Sankirtanaika pitaro. Of this Sankirtan movement. Chanting of the Lord's holy name. They give this. Sankirtanaika pitaro kamalayataksho. And their eyes are large, they're long, like the petals of a lotus. Kamalayataksho. Vishwambharo, he's supporting, he's maintaining this entire world. Vishwambharo, they are. Dvijavaro, they're the best of learned brahmanas. Right? They're very pure in nature. Dvijavaro, yuga dharma palo. And they've come specifically to teach the religion for this age, Yuga Dharma, which is Harina Sankirtan, chanting of the Lord's holy name. Therefore, Vande Jagat Priya Karo Karunavataro. I offer my respectful obeisances to that incarnation of mercy, of compassion, of grace, Karuna. Jagat Priya Karo, who is dear to this entire world, whom everyone loves. There's no one I met who has read the life or the description of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and can we fail to be attracted by his sweet and amazing personality? So, Jagat Priya Karo Karuna, that ocean of mercy, I offer my obeisances to. So, next week you'll see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Nityananda's form. And I can guarantee you, if you look closely, these deity forms of the Lord look exactly like this. They're completely golden in color. Eyes are very large and beautiful. Long arms. Once you see these murtis, you'll be very captivated. If you look closely, they're very, very beautiful, very attractive. So, please try to come next week and for this installation ceremony. Bring all your friends. There's no qualification to achieve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. Everyone can come. Everyone should bring their friends and participate in the Sankirtan. All during the Abhishek and the process of installation and so forth, the main activity that will be going on at that time is Kirtan, is Sankirtan. And that's what actually pleases Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Everything else we do, but it only is powerful, it's only effective. Any ritual in Kali Yuga, any ritual you do, is only effective because it's accompanied by Harinam. The aarti you do has no effect if there's no Harinam there. The food we offer has no effect if we don't call out on the Lord's holy name. Anything in this age has no effect unless Harinam is there, because that's Yuga Dharma. That's the dharma for this age. So that's 2 hours of Abhishek meets 2 hours of Sankirtan. That's what you should come for. It will be a very nice, very joyous occasion. And with that nice musical note, we'll conclude this presentation. Any questions, comments?
There's also a very nice song that Acharya has written. It says, Guru Kira Prima Hari Nama Sankirtan. That this Hari Nama Sankirtan is descended from the spiritual world. This Mahamantra, this Hari Krishna, is descended from the spiritual world and it's come to this earth. And it's the wealth of the spiritual world. So, Acharya described that Krishna came to earth and he performed all his pastimes. He came with his devotees. And once he completed everything, Krishna left, his devotees left, everything left. But he left this Harinam behind. And this is our access to him, so that we can actually attain the treasure of Goloka. This is the treasure of love that's found in Goloka. This we can access through the Holy Name. So this is why this the Holy Name is not ordinary, because it's not something that's man-made, or something that some human being created. It's descending from the spiritual world. So in the spiritual world, Mother Yashoda, Srimati Radharani, they're singing this Hare Krishna. They're also remembering Krishna. They're singing this Hare Krishna. And that same mantra.